and what we call anarthas, these demons represent. Anartha means things you don't want, like lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, fear, all these wonderful things, and please turn your mobile phone off, on, or vibrate. Or else you'll be doing a maha maha abhishek. You'll be sponsoring one. That means a $5,000 maha abhishek for yourself or for yourself. So please, a list, leave it on. See, everybody turns it off. Okay, so first we'll chant Jai Radha Madhava. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vidhade
Thank you.
Jai Om Vishnu Pad Padamahamsa Parvacharya Osteta Sitashi Shima. His Divine Grace Abhaya Chananada Bhaktivananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananda Goti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Acharya Yuda Stapu Ki Jai. And say, oh, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Rabu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadha Shri Vasi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Krishna Go with the Sai Kundradagunda Giri Gauran Kijai Rindavadam Kijai Shuram Kijai Vidam Kijai Vidasami Kijai Yuvanamai Kijai Shivadalasi Devi Kijai Sayavaka Vrindi Kijai Gaur Vrindi. All glorious and simple devotees, all glorious and simple devotees, glorious and simple. All glories to Shri Guru Gauranga Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, Om Magana Chivadanda Shah, Vilanjana Shabaya Chakshur and Medikam, Yena Tosai, Shri Gurubai Namaha, I offer my respectful obeisances and the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So as I mentioned before, in our method of celebrating, or my method of celebrating Janmasthami 2 days before Janmasthami, is to remember the demons. And so, of course, we do find that Krishna does say in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Prajanaya Sahanam Vinashaya Jatushritam. I come to annihilate the mysteries. However, as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the Bhagavatam and Krishna book, this process of annihilating the demons can be accomplished very easily by Krishna's devotees or by Krishna's energies. So when Krishna personally kills a demon, there's several things going on. First of all, he's having a good time. That may come as a surprise to you. Why should God come down and have a good time? Well, the reason is that Krishna, who is God, why do I say he's God? You know, Krishna is 2 Bhagavan Swayam, Ishwara Sakamutanam. I mean, so many verses. Ishwara Padma Krishna Sachinanda Vigraha. I mean, I could throw out millions of verses, but I got proof. So, why does God come and enjoy this sort of activity? Because we are actually chips off the old blocks here. Now, those of you who don't understand this English expression, it means vansa, mami vansa jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana. We're parts and parcels of Krishna, so everything that we enjoy or the people enjoy in this world must be present in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For example, some people like watching sporting activities, right? Football games, cricket, rugby. I'm sure you all like something. Parcheesi. You don't even know what Parcheesi is. It's okay. So, chess. Anyway, so people like watching sporting games. So why should Krishna not have that particular enjoyment himself? Sometimes people like to tease others. Krishna likes to tease. Sometimes people like to steal. Krishna likes to steal. And anyway, not going to get into all the other details. But Krishna has all the qualities that you see in this world and more so. So he comes down and enjoys specific pastimes that do not occur in the spiritual world. There's two types of pastimes. There's nityalila and namatilila. Namiti. Which means the pastimes that occur in this world and the pastimes that occur in the spiritual world. Some of them are the same. Some of them are exactly the same. The Krishna dancing with the gopis here and there. Because usually they say they're higher. It's kind of funny, isn't it? Because usually you point up there, oh, there's the spiritual world, there's hell. but that may not be geographically correct. So Krishna comes down to this world, and there's killing in this world, and, you know, really violent sometimes, pastimes, and there's chivalry, and there's anger, and they cannot be manifested fully in the spiritual world, those particular pastimes, because there's no killing in the spiritual world. Why no killing? Because everyone there has a spiritual body like Krishna does. In fact, we all have spiritual bodies like Krishna. But right now, we've forgotten them. We're sleeping. Our spiritual body is sleeping. So that's why you have to wake up. That's Krishna consciousness. So, therefore, the killing in this world is there because people have material bodies. So there's really heavy stuff going on. So Krishna kills these demons, and in many cases these demons are devotees who have come down, like in the case of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, who were killed by our Lord Nrsimhadeva. And in some cases, they're actually good personalities of similar way that got cursed to take part in Krishna's pastimes. We'll talk about that. So these things really occur. However, in addition to that, each and every one of the demons that Krishna killed, and there's unlimited demons. Krishna killed billions of demons while he was on the Earth planet. We just read about, you know, maybe 15, 20 of the primary demons. But there's unlimited demons during the day. You know, Krishna had to keep himself occupied. He's not going to just sit around, same old calves, same old demons. Seen it, done it, been there. So he has all sorts of interesting, and each demon is so unique. They're not like cookie-cutter demons. In other words, you know, it's, oh, the same type of demon again? Now you handle the dog. No, they're actually very interesting demoniac persons. So, and each one of those demoniac persons exhibits certain characteristics that help us reflect on our own need to conquer certain characteristics that we have that are impeding our spiritual life. And so we're going to talk about some of those demons. They're just not all of them, not all 10 billion of them. Because we'll never get out of here and eat prasadam. So, who's this demon? Putana, the poison giver. So she's a very interesting person. For various reasons. Now, let's talk a little bit about her history. She was previously, there's two different stories, one from the Garga Samhita and another one from another Vedic literature. She was either the sister or daughter of Bali Maharaj. Two different stories there. But whatever it is, she was Bali Maharaj's relative. And when Bali, in a previous life, of course, when Bali Maharaj got cheated by the greatest cheater, who's the greatest cheater? Krishna, Lord Vamanadeva. Krishna wants to cheat, nobody can avoid being cheated. Even he cheated this rascal, Shakuni. Shakuni had all of his different plans how to cheat the Pandavas and everything like that, but Krishna just, he took care of things. So, she was very upset when her brother, or father, as the case may be, got cheated by Lord Vamanadeva, and she just got really angry. Of course, before she got upset, she was attracted to Vamanadeva. And she said, my dear Lord Vamanadeva, or my dear nice little Brahmin boy, I'd like to be your mother. And so she had mixed desires. And because of those mixed desires, guess what? She took birth as Putana. And she was the original demon killed by Krishna. And she got to be Krishna's mother. That's how merciful Krishna is, because when he kills someone, they get liberated. And sometimes they even go back to the spiritual world, as in the case of Putana. Isn't that nice? Hey, Krishna caught in the sinner. So, if you have to be killed by someone, get killed by Krishna. Challenge Krishna to a fight. Then you get liberated. So, and she represents something very interesting. Two things. Two anarthas, or problems we have in this world. One is false gurus. Ooh. And the other one, of course, that's a contradiction of terms, false guru. Because guru means heavy with knowledge. How can you have a false heavy with knowledge? So, in other words, imitation guru, or one's mind, because most of us have as our guru our mind. We accept the authority of our mind. Or, if we're not so lucky, of our tongue. But anyway, everything's connected to the mind. So, anyway, so she represents that, and we should conquer that false guru by taking shelter of Krishna conscious philosophy. So that's how we get rid of that. And also be able to identify who is a real guru and who is a false guru. There's certain characteristics. What are the characteristics of a real guru? Samitpani Shrojyam Ramanishtam. That he's in disciplined succession, serving his spiritual master, and he's fixed. He doesn't fall down to anything outside of Krishna consciousness 24/7. Are you sure what's 24/7 mean? Yeah, means all day long, every day of the week. Unlimited time. He's a great devotee. That's why I asked him. So that's how we find a real spiritual man. There's other characteristics too, but doesn't preach anything other than what Krishna said. Because Dharma only comes from Krishna. And if someone is not repeating what Krishna says, then they may not be speaking Dharma. They may be speaking some mental concoction. So we have to repeat what Krishna says. So Samitpani Shrotriyam Brahmanishnam. And so let's go on to the next nice devotee. Of course, this is not in chronological order.
Kamsa.
Kamsa was Krishna's uncle. And he's a nice guy. So in his past life, just to give a little history, he was this demon Kalanami. He was cursed by Hiranyakashipu to be killed, to actually be killed in such a way like this. And so what happened, actually not only was Kamsa Kalanami Viprachitti, he took birth as Jarasandha, all these demons took birth actually before Krishna appeared, so Krishna had to come and relieve the earth of its burden of demoniac kings. So Kamsa represents something. Another thing that's very interesting is the empirical understanding of life. What does that mean? That seeing is believing. If I can't measure it, like scientifically we say, if you can't measure something, then it doesn't exist. Now, that's interesting. Because you can only measure the things that you have instruments for. For example, if you have a thermometer, you can only measure what? Temperature. Can you measure radio waves with a thermometer? No. Just heat or cold. That's it. So obviously, with empirical instruments, including in the eyes, ears, and the extensions which the scientists have come up with, you cannot perceive spirituality because, by definition, those are empirical instruments. So empiricist says that only things that you can measure exist. That's actually circular reasoning. And I'm not going to describe what circular reasoning is, because they say only things that we can measure with empirical instruments exist. But obviously, the only thing you're going to be able to measure with empirical instruments is empirical things. Which is crazy. So there are things that exist. So Kamsa represents that. And Krishna appears to actually destroy this empirical understanding. Why do you say this? Because not only does Krishna come as the Supreme Personality of God, but he performs all these different miracles. Like picking up, it's empirically impossible to pick up a hill with your pinky for your left hand. Did you ever do that? It's empirically impossible to expand your body while you're inside a snake. We'll talk about it now soon. So Krishna comes for that particular purpose. Let's get on to the next demon. Next demon is who? Shakatasura, he is a cart demon. And of course you all know the story that Krishna was placed beneath the cart, and the cart demon tried to hit Krishna on the head, to kill Krishna, and Krishna kicked the cart with his foot, and the cart flew into the air, and the cart demon was killed. So this cart demon, Shakatasura, represents the tendency to have a lot of bad habits from your past. And these are impressions on the subtle body. We know by chanting the Lord's holy names, Cheto Darpana Marjanam Bhava Mahatvadni Nirvapanam, these impressions on the subtle body, the mind, can be eradicated. So this demon represents those particular things. And the story about him is as follows. This story is from the Garga Samhita, that he previously was a demon named Utkacha, and he went to Lomasa Muni's ashram, and he broke some trees there, and he was cursed to become bodiless. That means he had no apparent body, he'd like a ghost. So he begged for the Muni's mercy, and the Muni told him in the next manvantara he would be touched by the foot of the Lord and be liberated. So you see, these demons all have a history that explains why they got the mercy of the Supreme Personality of God. Because when you get cursed by a great personality, guess what? You get mercy. Everyone's asking for mercy. Just like one of the mudras I had to learn when I joined the Hare Krishna movement was Ashivat. The Buddha said, you have to do this. Even if you're online, you have to look at Facebook Live and go Ashivat to everybody online. I mean, that's the instruction I got when I took sannyas. It was a sannyas class. So when a devotee blesses or a devotee curses, bear blessings. Because ultimately, you get purified by it. So this is the message we get from Shakatasura, the cart demon. Next demon, real quickly, is who? Trinivarta. Of course, Trinivarta tried to carry Krishna away, and Krishna made himself so heavy that Trinivarta fell to the ground and died. Interesting looking demon. And he represents pride from material scholarship. You know, you ever say someone is a bag of hot air? Or he's full of it? So Queen Kunti says that we become proud for different reasons. She says, Janmaishwarya Shutasha Shibir. We become proud because we have a good birth, you know, we're Trivedi, Chaturvedi, or we're proud because we're opulent, we have money, and we're going to talk about that in regard to money here in Navagubra in a second. Or we're proud because we're beautiful or handsome. Or we're proud because we're intelligent. And these different, let's say, opulences that we may have delude us, bewilder us, and keep us from approaching the Lord in a humble state of mind. And also facilitate us or help us. I won't use the word help us. But let us say, spur us on to commit offenses. So how do we overcome these? We overcome these tendencies by understanding all these different opulences we have. And everyone has some opulence, you know, whether you're beauty or wealthy or whatever. They're coming from Krishna. Krishna's lending them to us, as they say, on loan from God. Just like if you borrow someone's car and you just ride around waving to all the girls, or something, if you have a little boy, but you know, not waving to everybody, telling everybody you're a thief and you're being dishonest. So these are not our appearances. Intelligence or wealth or beauty or any of these different, or strength, with the speed of the strength, because God, Krishna, is called Bhagavan. He has all these appearances in full. Complete, full, unlimitedly. So Trinivarta has a very interesting last life, in his past life, according to the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, he was a king. And he had 1,000 wives. Pretty good. And anyway, he wasn't observing the regulative principles. I guess he was at a rainbow festival or something. He was naked with his 1,000 wives before a great sage named Durvasa Muni. Now, if you're going to do that, don't do it before Durvasa Muni. Because the name Durvasa means the Muni with a bad temper. Durvasa. You know, do it before some other Muni. So Durvasa Muni cursed him to live on earth for 100,000 years and then to be killed by Lord Krishna. So you see, again, it's a benediction. So a very interesting demon. Next demon, next in line, who's that? They're not actually demons, but that next person who happened to that demonically. Who's that?
Nalakuvara and Manigriva.
Nalakuvara and Manigriva. So these are important personalities. They were the sons of Kuvera. And being the sons of Kuvera, they had a lot of what?
Money.
Money, wealth. And they became prideful of this wealth. Again, this is this Janmaishwari Ishvatasya Shibir point. That if one has these opulences, you become proud. It says the pauper is proud of his penny. So, and nowadays, in the Western world and also in India, the people who are most prominent are the richest people. Now, how often do you read in the newspaper about some big philosopher? Some intelligent person? Hardly ever. You read about the people who are billionaires, right? The people who have money. And actually, even in America, the political system is based upon the system. You know, the people who have money get to run for office. How much money does it cost to run for president of the United States? Tens of millions of dollars. Or any country. So if money talks, everybody else walks. So, anyway, because they had a lot of money, they became proud. And guess what they were doing here? What are they doing here? Drinking and being naked in front of Narada Muni. And the girls were more intelligent. The girls covered themselves when Narada Muni came. And they just said, "Hi, Narada." Exposing themselves. And Narada Muni said, "Because you were acting like what? Trees." Because why did he compare them to trees? The trees have, well, the trees have no clothes, they bark, I guess. But they stand naked for hundreds of years, right? In the cold. Nobody ever puts a coat on a tree. Actually, sometimes they do, protect them from the winter, so they don't get frostbite. But anyway, usually you don't put coats on trees. And so you should take birth as trees. And then you'll be born in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, and then Krishna will liberate you. So again, the curse became a cause of their liberation or Krishna consciousness. And of course, they became pure devotees and eventually went back to the heavenly planets and eventually went back to Godhead. Who's that? What's that? No. Vatsasura. Now this is interesting. None of your children should listen to this explanation. Because Vatsasura is a calf demon. And he represents childish mentality, you know, but not good childish mentality. He represents the childish mentality that is sometimes cruel to others. I mean, one time I saw a child, they threw a cat on the ground. You know, tortured a poor cat because they're not aware. So, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, this is a message from him. He said, in order to avoid this happening in children, and children can be naturally playful, then they have to be trained up by the spiritual master. Okay? How many of you are going to turn your children over today? No way. Anyway. Trained up, or the parents have to be so Krishna conscious. So in the last life, so that's And the last life, this particular individual was a demon. His name was Pramila. And he conquered the demigods in battle, and he became so proud that he wanted to steal the desire cow of Vasishtha Muni. So he made himself look like a Brahmin, and he said, please give me your cow, Vasishtha Muni. And the cow understood that he was actually a demon, and he was cursed to become a cow because of that, a calf. He said, later on, you'll be liberated by the Supreme Personality of Gandhi. So that's the story of Vatsasura. Also, when Krishna killed Vatsasura, guess what? The coward boys didn't want to go near him. Because even if you're God, if you kill a cow, that's how sacred a cow is. Can you imagine? The cow is so sacred. And we'll hear a similar story with the Rishtasura. The cow is so sacred that even if you're God and you kill a demon in the shape of a cow or a calf, you got to atone. So the coward boys said to Krishna, you have to atone. The only way you can atone is go to the Ganges and take a bath in the Ganges. And Krishna said, I don't want to leave Vrindavan. So then he created the whole Ganges from his mind, and that was called the what? Manasa Ganga. So you can see how sacred the cow is. Fortunately, the leaders of India realize that now. And they're trying to stop cow slaughter, transportation of cows like this. It's so important because without cow protection, there is no culture. The cow is our mother. There's no culture. Vedic culture means protection of the cows, protection of old people like me, protection... Thank you. Protection of Brahmins like that, and children. That's Vedic culture. Without that, there is no culture at all. So that's Vatsasura. Hmm. All right. Here's another interesting demon. Who's he?
Bakasura.
He's like a stork, or some people say duck, but he's more like a stork. And so he represents duplicity. Duplicity means lying, cheating, stealing, like that. And in his last life, his name was Sahotra, who was a disciple. He was a disciple of Durvasa Muni. And he had two other brothers who later became Palamba and Keshi. And they performed austerities and they picked lotuses in a lake. And actually they were picking the lotuses to offer them to Lord Krishna, which isn't so bad. But this was the lake of Parvati, and they took some of her lotuses away, for they were cursed by Lord Shiva to become demons, and they had to appear as demons and be killed by Krishna. So even when you're performing service for Krishna, you have to be careful of not offending other living entities. This is an important lesson for us. One shouldn't think proudly, I'm a devotee of Krishna. I'm better than anyone else. I can take things from Parvati. I can take things from someone else. I can steal. I remember the early days, this is confession, in the early days of the movement, in order to get flowers for the deities, sometimes we would take flowers from places we shouldn't have taken flowers from. So one night, we snuck out in the middle of the night and went to a fire in the fire department, the fire brigade or something like that. And they had all these beautiful flowers there, and we thought, well, we'll just go very quietly. So we were taking all these flowers. And all of a sudden, these spotlights came on us, the sirens were blaring, and these big firemen came out. What are you doing? We're taking them for Krishna. And of course, we didn't get arrested, thank God. So, but in any case, one has to respect others. So this is one lesson we can find from this particular story of Bakasura. Who's the next demon?
Agasura.
So Agasura is a demon. He represents cruelness and troublesomeness to others out of envy. Like generally, when people have more than us, we become very envious of them and we want to cause trouble to them. And sometimes we even go on the internet to do that. we criticize them on the internet because we're envious. So, this particular individual, his previous life, is also called Aga, and he was the son of Sankarasura. He was very, very attractive, and he made fun of Astabhatra Muni. He said, "Ooh, look at an ugly sage you are." And the sage said, "All right, you're going to be uglier, the ugliest snake on earth." And Aga begged for his mercy, and as a result, he became the snake that swallowed Krishna, and Krishna expanded himself and killed Aga. And then the spirit soul of Agasura entered into Krishna. So that's the interesting story of Agasura. The next demon is, he's not a demon actually. Who's the person who made a mistake? What's his name?
Brahma.
This is the famous Brahma Vimohana Leela. Vimohana means bewilderment of Lord Brahma. So what happened is that Lord Brahma saw all the cowherd boys and the calves and Krishna playing. And he thought, you know, he's a little puffed up, this Krishna. Let me teach him a lesson. He stole the calves and the cowherd boys. And he came back a few moments later, according to his time, and he saw the same calves and cowherd boys playing with Krishna. And these calves and cowherd boys were expansions of Krishna. And then he got bewildered, and he apologized to Krishna. And then, of course, he saw all these other Lord Brahmas worshipping Krishna, and all the Lord Brahmas in different universes, they have different numbers of heads. There's some Lord Brahmas with 1,000 heads. It's incredible, isn't it? Where would you fit 1,000 heads? I've always wondered about that. Well, it's different dimensions. There's different, let's say, levels of reality that we're not aware of. There's microscopic levels, and there's different dimensional levels of reality. And so there are Lord Brahmas. And these Lord Brahmas show our Lord Brahma only has how many heads? How many heads is our Lord Brahma?
Four.
He showed him that he is not the only Lord Brahma. Now, one time he went to Krishna's palace and he wanted to see Krishna. And the doorman said, after speaking to Krishna, "Which Lord Brahma are you?" And Lord Brahma said, "I'm the Lord Brahma. Charge here." And then he came in and he saw all the other Lord Brahmas offering obeisances to Krishna with many heads, and then he understood that he didn't know anything. So this anarta that Lord Brahma represents at this point is quite interesting. Disrespecting the Lord's material feature and thinking that the only way the Lord could be worshipped is Aishwarya. In other words, Aishwarya means awe and reverence. Worshipping the Lord Madhurya means sweetness, like the residents of Vrindavan. So Lord Brahma didn't understand. He worshipped Vishnu. He wrote the Brahma Sangita. Right? Shwarapadama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha. Anadi Radhi Govinda Sarva Karna Karna. Yet, when Krishna was just playing as a coward boy, he just said, "Yeah, what's happening here? This could not be God. This is not Krishna. This is just, you know, not Vishnu. This is just some puny little coward." So in other words, he couldn't accept that the Lord also has these sweet relationships, intimate relationships with his devotees. So if someone doesn't respect that, then they can commit offenses like Lord Brahma did. Okay, next problem. Who do we have here? Now, Danikasura was not killed by Krishna. He was killed by who? Balaram. So, Danikasura is quite interesting. In his previous life, he was the son of Bali Maharaj. Oh my God, even if you have a good father, you can become an ass. So, donkey. So, he offended Durvasa Muni because he was disturbing Durvasa Muni when Durvasa Muni was meditating, and he was disturbing Durvasa Muni because he had 10,000 wives. Not Durvasa Muni, this particular individual. And Durvasa Muni cursed him to become an ass. He said, "Fool, you're an ass. Become an ass. For 400,000 years, you're going to become a jackass." That's a long time to be in that body. But you will take birth in the sacred forest of Talavan. And there you will be killed by Lord Balaram. Now the reason he wasn't killed by Krishna, several reasons, but one important reason is that Krishna had promised not to kill anyone of Prahlad Maharaj's family. So he was tricky, you know, he had his expansion to it. You know, what can I say, you know? You can't get away with murder with Krishna. So another reason was that he represents something, the ignorance of knowledge of the soul. And ignorance of knowledge of the soul is eradicated by approaching Balaram. And one approaches Balaram, but endeavors oneself to get rid of this ignorance. You can't just say, Balaram, Nityananda, get rid of the ignorance. Let me wake up tomorrow morning without any ignorance. It doesn't work. You have to work on getting rid of the anarthas. And that represents all the demons that were killed by Balaram. Of course, there's Palamasura too, which we'll get to in a second. Next is
Kaliya.
Kaliya represents cruelty, maliciousness, pride, envy, and crookedness. And what he does, it's very interesting, he tries to pour his poison into the hearts of innocent Vaishnavas. Now, how he does that in Kali Yuga is that he blasphemes the real religion, blasphemes devotees, criticizes Vaishnavas, and he poisons people's Krishna consciousness. So, I mean, I think we've all seen that before, either on the internet or in person. And he got Krishna's mercy in spite of his bad characteristics because of the devotion of his wife. So if you have a good wife, you're saved. You could be a demon, you could be envious, cruel, malicious. You have my blessings. But have a good wife. No, it doesn't always work like that. So his wives saved him. His wives are known as the what?
Nagapatnis.
That means the wives of the serpent. And so he used to be a sage named Vedashira, and he was cursed because he didn't allow another sage to stay in his ashram. And he just said, get out of here. He said, because you are cursing me like that, you hiss just like a snake, become a snake. And he appeared in the first generation of snakes to take birth from the daughter of Daksha named Kadru. Kadru and Kashyap, right? So that was Kaliya. So that's another Anartha. We're almost finished with the demons. Actually, no, we have quite a few more demons. So the next demon is who? It's actually the forest fire. He was a friend of Kamsa. And this forest fire represents, there's no family history to him, but forest fire represents arguments and disagreements and hatred between Vaishnavas. Because as Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, described, the only thing that will stop the spiritual progress of this Krishna consciousness movement is the fighting between Vaishnavas, or offenses between the Vaishnavas. Nothing externally can stop us. Because nothing externally can stop spiritual energy. But if the spiritual energy loses its potency, or the people who have spiritual energy lose their potency by fighting and committing offenses, this is like a forest fire. And even Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur commented in regard to his particular institution. When he was speaking to Prabhupada in Radhakund, he said, there will be a fire. And he was referencing how many of his different disciples would fight with each other after he left the planet. So, and Prabhupada also said, your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate. So that's the opposite. So if we cooperate, put aside sometimes our own personal interests, then we can avoid this forest fire. Next demon. Who's that? Balambasura. He represents the lust for, anyway, the opposite sex and desire for profit, adoration, and distinction. His previous life, his name was Sudarshan, and he offended Kuvera by stealing some flowers again from his garden. And therefore he got cursed to be killed by Krishna, or by Balaram, actually. Right? Next demon? Who's that? Oh, that's not, those aren't demons, sorry. But they did not act properly. So this is the story of the ritualistic brahmanas. The ritualistic brahmanas did not want to serve Krishna and Balaram, right? They didn't send any food, and their wives brought all the food. Those are the wives over there. And these ritualistic brahmanas represent callousness towards Krishna due to pride because of one's position in the varnashram system. In other words, if one has a particular type of birth, with a particular name, particular gotra, then you tend to be very prideful. And so these brahmanas didn't want to offer anything to Krishna, but their wives offered everything to Krishna. And the brahmanas later on realized they had made a mistake, but they still didn't want to approach Krishna because they were afraid of Kamsa. Next is, of course, not a demon, that's Indra. Indra was conquered by Krishna when Krishna left to the Govardhan Hill. Indra represents pride due to one's position, also attachment to deity worship, not deity worship, attachment to demigod worship. Many of us are attached to demigod worship, but the demigod worship, if we're not approaching the demigods properly as servants of Krishna, is more or less a form of bribery. Because you're trying to get something. It's like bribing a government servant or official. I know, let's say when I was in India one time, I said, I want to get a driving license. And they said, well, there's two ways of getting it. One is you have to go to driving school, take a test. The other one is you just 1,000 rupees. And I said, I'll take 1,000 rupees. So that's like a Vidhi Purvakam described by Krishna in the Gita. So, next encounter. This is Nanda Maharaj, who was stolen by Varuna. Remember that story? No one knows the story? What's the story? Right. Very nice. So he went bathing, it was a Dwadasi, and he went bathing at the wrong time. And then Varuna's men brought him down, and actually it turned out that Varuna just wanted to see Krishna. So Varuna, this particular encounter reveals that one should avoid intoxication. Because Varuna also was intoxicated by his power, or his servants were intoxicated by their power. Here's another. This one, next one's a demon. What's this?
Yes.
Yeah?
So, when Nanda Maharaj, he was out for a little, like, spending time with his friends.
Yeah.
Krishna was there inside with Mother Yashoda. And then they were taking a nap in the night, and then this big snake came towards Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj quickly woke up and figured out he was in the mouth of the snake. Then he was like, Krishna and everyone was beating them with sticks,
wow,
putting fire on the tails, but the snake was surviving. And then he was like, Krishna, help. And then Krishna just put him, with the touch of his lotus feet, he turned into flowers. And then came a Gandharva. And,
do you remember the Gandharva's name?
Yeah.
Starts with a V. Vidya. Vijitara. Very nice. Very, very nice. Very well. He will be up here in the future. So this indicates the fall with associating with deviant philosophies, Mayavad philosophy, and becoming attached to improper ideas. And so that's the snake or the serpent that swallowed Nanda Maharaj. Next is what? That's close. Sankachuda. Sankachuda. Krishna was dancing with the gopis, and Sankachuda wanted to kidnap them. And Krishna killed Chandrachuda, and Chandrachuda had a jewel on his forehead, the Zaivave conch shell. And this jewel later on became the Shyamataka jewel. Because Krishna gave this jewel to Balaram, Balaram gave it to Radharani, and Radharani gave it to the sun god. So that's Chandrachuda. And he indicates proneness towards name and fame, desire for sensual enjoyment in the guise of making believe you're a devotee. In other words, cheating. And that's one of the most interesting demons. Who's that? Aristasura, the bull demon. And Aristasura, he represents the anartha of associating with cheating religionists, or cheating people who are acting like spiritual persons, and people who are disrespectful towards the real process of devotional service. In his past life, he was a Brahmin who was a disciple of Brihaspati. One day he, facing his guru, he put his feet out. Now, you have to understand, in the Vedic system, the feet are not considered a nice thing unless you happen to be a great devotee, then you touch the person's feet. But you're not supposed to touch anything with your feet, especially you're not supposed to put your feet to the deity or feet to the guru. So he put his feet to the deity, to the guru, and his guru Brihaspati said, "You look and sit like a bull. You should become a bull, so be careful when you put your feet out the wrong way. Because you may become a bull." And he became a bull in East Bengal, and by the association of demoniac bulls, he became a demon bull. And this demon bull was killed by Krishna, and after Krishna killed him, the gopis didn't want to talk to him or associate with him, right? Why?
Because he killed a bull.
Because he killed a bull. That shows how important, again, it is to protect the cows and the bulls. And so they said, you have to bathe in all the holy rivers. How did Krishna bathe in all the holy rivers?
Yeah, so like...
Wait a minute.
I'll take the mic.
Yeah.
So with the... He stands on the ground, and just by his thinking, he brought all the rivers.
Right.
And they all went into the hole that he had created when he stamped, and then he bathed in that, and then...
What was the lake called that he made?
Shankun?
Yeah! That's very good. And then he said to the gopis what?
That you sided with the demons, now it's your turn, that you also have to take bath in the river.
He said, you should take bath in my kund, right?
Yeah, but then the gopis said, no, you've already contaminated the pool with your
That's right. That's right. He contaminated your kund. We're not taking a bath in your dirty kund.
So they started taking river water too, but it was
from the Manasaganga.
Yeah, but it just took. They weren't like nowhere near done. So Krishna called out the rivers again, and the rivers went into Radha's pool, and that was called.
Well, Radhakund. Radhakund. So that was called Radhakund. And Krishna said, I will always bathe in Radhakund. And Radharani said, I will always bathe in Shyamakund. So the waters of Radhakund and Shyamakund are the personified love of Radha and Krishna for each other. So the two holiest places anywhere are these two lakes. And it was all from that nice bull demon. So we have a lot to thank him for. So, just two more demons, and then we're finished. Who's the next one? Oh, then no, we missed one. Actually, I missed one. Wow. All right, anyways, one of them didn't make it. he didn't make the cut. The one that didn't make the cut, I'll just explain. I thought I'd put him on the slide. He was the horse demon. That horse demon, what do they do? They bray really loudly. I don't know how, can't make a noise like that. And can any of the children make a noise like a horse? No. Anyway, they bray very loudly, but all it is a horse braying. So it's the same thing as someone who's proud and thinking, I'm a great devotee, I'm a great spiritual master, I'm wonderful, worship me, read my V.S. Pooh's book. So, and he was one of the brothers, a Gandharvan in his last life, one of the brothers of Pralamba and Bokasu, who we mentioned before. So he was killed by Krishna, sticking, how did Krishna kill him? Yeah, his hand became like an iron rod, and he died. And so the last demon, who's this demon? Vyomasura. Vyomasura means the sky demon. The sky, he used to fly in the sky, and when he saw Krishna the coward boys, he kept kidnapping more and more Krishna's coward boys and put them in the cave. And Krishna killed him, and he represents the need to give up the company of thieves and other rascals. In other words, as stated, asango chagat satovrite, give up bad association and associate with devotees. And especially don't associate with people who make believe that they're spiritualists and are not actually spiritualists. In his past life, he was a great devotee king. He was a devotee and a king from Varanasi. And he renounced his kingdom and began to perform austerities. One day the sage Pulastya came to him, and Bhimartha, neglected, that is the king, did not welcome him properly, so he was cursed to become a demon. But then he was blessed to be liberated by Krishna, and he took birth as Vyomasura, and Vyomasura was the son of Mayasura. So these are some of the demons. But let me read something from Bhaktivinoda Thakur about conquering these demoniac tendencies the demons represent, and then we'll end. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the devotee who worships the holy name should first petition the Lord for the strength to cast out all these unfavorable tendencies, and should pray thus before Lord Hari on a daily basis. By doing this regularly, the devotee's heart will eventually become purified. Sri Krishna has killed a number of demons which may arise in the kingdom of the heart. So in order to destroy these problems, a devotee must cry very humbly before the Lord and admit defeat. Admitting defeat means, I am powerless. I cannot do anything. I cannot conquer these different anarthas in the heart. Then, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, then the Lord will nullify all contaminations. Of course, one has to bear in mind that not all the persons referred to as demons are such. Okay, we already said about this. Okay, so any questions, quick questions or comments before we end? Yes,
Ayush.
Like
when you explained about Kalia, he didn't actually get killed. And I always wonder, why didn't he get killed? And he's just there.
That's good, because he became a devotee and now is serving the devotees. Prabhupada explained that Kaliya was kicked out of the Jamuna Lake because he was poisoning everything in the lake. But then he went to Fiji. And then Krishna sent me to Fiji too. I don't know if there's any parallel in it. Prabhupada described this many times. He was in Fiji, and Prabhupada said, Kali is here. And in Fiji, when the devotees first went to Fiji and they brought Krishna books and showed them to the natives there, the natives looked at the picture of Kali and they said, he's our God, dang it. Oh my God. He's him. And he lives here in the mountains. And I know where he lives. He's lived anyway, I won't tell you where. Because you'll try to go see him.
So how is he serving the devotees now?
He's protected. Alright, want me to tell you the story? Once upon a time, some terrorists attacked our temple in Fiji. They threw Molotov cocktails, firebombs into the temple. And fortunately, the fire station or fire brigade, whatever you call it nowadays, firemen, fire ladies, fire persons. They arrived on the scene and put it out. I mean, just part of the temple was the little bird. And then the head of all these people, one of the native chieftains, he had a dream, and Kaliya appeared to him. And he said, if you try to hurt any of my people again, I will kill all of you. And to this day, everyone's Nitai Gaur, Hare Krishna. They respect us in Fiji. So Kaliya's serving us. He's a devotee. He's a devotee and he's serving. So sometimes Krishna doesn't kill someone, but he purifies them.
Thank you.
Yeah, more questions.
How is Kaliya still alive?
How is he still alive? You mean how? He went swimming with all of his wives. Because Krishna just said, leave here. He didn't kill him. He danced on his head and also said, it's an additional part of the story. You won't have to worry about, there's the name of the bird. What's the name of the bird?
Garuda.
You won't have to worry about Garuda eating you anymore because Garuda loves to eat snakes. There's a whole story about that where he got the benediction because he was angry with his half-brothers, the 100 sons of Kadru, and he wanted to eat them all. Anyway, so he got the benediction that snakes would be his food. And so he looked at Kaliya one time, long time ago, before Krishna benedicted Kaliya, and said, delicious. So Kaliya took shelter in the Yamuna. The reason Kaliya took shelter in the Yamuna River was because Garuda couldn't touch the fish in the Yamuna River. The reason he couldn't touch the fish in the Yamuna River because a sage had cursed him because the sage loved the fish. What? Shobhari Muni. Shobhari Muni cursed. Shobhari Muni was living in the water for like hundreds of years. You know how you get all wrinkly if you stay in the water for a long time in the bath? He was really wrinkly. So he was in the water for several hundred years and he was protecting the fish. He cursed Garuda not to come near and touch his fish. And so as a result, he developed material attraction because he offended Garuda. And so he jumped out of the river. Most people jump into the river. You know, dive into the river. He jumped out of it. Went to the king, Mandata. The king's name was Mandata. And he wanted to get married. But not only one girl, he wanted to marry 50. But he was ugly. Because he was all wrinkly, being in the water for so many years. You know, like, you've seen it when you go swimming. I remember when I was a kid, I'd go in the bathtub. Most of you don't know what bathtubs are. But anyway, so my mother would put me in the bathtub and the skin would go. So he had seaweed all over him and everything like that. Wasn't such an attractive guy. So he went to the king and said, I'd like to marry your daughter. And the king said, if I say no, he's going to get angry with me. Nobody's going to want to marry this guy. He is ugly. And so he said, all right, anyone who wants to marry you can marry you. So this sage, he had mystic power, he turned himself into a handsome young man without the seaweed all over his body. And he said, girls, anyone who wants to marry me can marry me. And all 50 of them fought over him, and he married all 50. So he, nothing wrong with being married, it's just that, you know, 50 is a little too much. You know, it's hard enough. So Garuda, he couldn't go near the Yamuna River. So when Kali was told to leave the Yamuna River, Krishna said, Garuda will never bother you again, even if you're not in the Yamuna River, because you have my what? Footprints on your heads. And so Garuda respects that, and Kaliya went to Fiji, and that's the end of the story.
Why
he's still alive? Well, some creatures live a long time. Trees live a long time. You know, there's trees that live thousands of years. So there's some creatures, especially celestial, powerful, you know, like powerful yogi creatures that live for a long time. Actually, even Prabhupada described as in India, there's yogis who live in the Himalayas who've been alive for hundreds and hundreds of years. They control their breathing. So sometimes powerful persons can do that. So Kali is still around. And you can go. If you come to Fiji with your family, I'll show you. We'll take you to see Kali. How's that for you? But you have to climb this really tall mountain. And it's really hard. Believe me. Even I didn't do it. So I think we have to end now. Oh, yes. Well, Paul, you have a question.
So sometimes...
Just a quick question.
Sometimes we see in these stories that the person that they were before, they commit some offense and then they get cursed.
Yeah.
But once they get cursed, sometimes we see that they beg some mercy from the sage, and the sage says, "All right, get killed by Krishna." And then sometimes they don't beg, and still they get the benediction to get killed by Krishna. And then sometimes you see other stories of other people, they get cursed, but they don't necessarily get the benediction of getting killed by
Krishna. Yes, because they haven't learned their lesson, or that sage may not be completely Krishna conscious. If a sage is Krishna conscious, whatever he does will be for your benefit. It's like a good parent. A good parent may sometimes chastise the child, right? That's for the child's benefit. But then a bad parent may chastise the child, but the child, it may not be for the child's benefit. It may be just because the parent has some anger issues. So, same thing with sages. If you're going to get cursed by a sage, make sure it's Krishna conscious sage. Okay. On that happy note, all glorious to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah.